Thank you very much for that call back to our purpose for living as we focus upon Christ. Would you turn to Proverbs 31 with me? In a few moments that we have left, just to bring some thoughts to you. Ladies, when you leave today, you're going to be leaving with a gift. There'll be some ladies at the doors at the gymnasium as well as here. And it's a quotation from St. Augustine on his mother as he reflected on her life. As I put a very nice bookmark here, and it says, whoever knew her, St. Augustine says, whoever knew her did in her magnify and honor and love thee, O God. For through the testimony of the fruits of her holy behavior, all perceive thee, O God, to be present in her heart. I think that those words are powerful words when you consider the life of Monica. And I consider her life, and I consider the lives of the ladies of Colonial. In your bulletin, there's also a sheet that goes along with the message today, because I wanted you to have this particular sheet that I've actually entitled the message today, How to Pray for the Women of Colonial. It was an opportunity for me personally to be able to address all of us to know how we should pray for the ladies that come within the doors of Colonial Baptist Church. And I wanted to use Proverbs 31. Now let me just say a few thoughts to you about Proverbs. Proverbs is a book in the Bible, Old Testament, that is really a set of concise sayings that stimulated the heart of all godly Jews who were living under the economy of the Old Covenant law. The question that people often wonder about, and I hope it's answered for you when you think this through, is how is it that somebody is to live under the law and to live wisely? God uses Solomon, this incredible king, to write down all of these proverbs to help the average person in the Jewish community to live out the law in a godly way, and a reflection, if you will, of godliness and truth and the heart of God flowing through their lives. So it's a very special book. It's a book that takes the 613 commands of the first five books of the Bible and puts them into a number of proverbial sayings, pithy sayings, sayings that are to be remembered. This is the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs begins in chapter 1 with a father speaking to his son. And in the first 9 chapters, over and over, you say, my son, my son, my son, listen to me, listen to what I say. Proverbs ends with the instruction of a mother. And the instruction of the mother is chapter 31. And within the structure from this mom, at least the poem that we have here, verse 10 down to verse 20, 31, it's a poem that takes each of the 22 Hebrew letters of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence, and this is for a memorization purpose, so that this mom can teach her son how to value a woman and the value of a woman. This poem is also, for those of you who are Hebrew scholars, it's chiastic in structure, which means this. It will repeat themes over again and repeat them in a different way. And a chiasm kind of looks like this. You've got a point up here and a point down here. And it's interesting that there is a word. If you look at verse number 10, the word is virtuous. The Hebrew term is quite an expansive term and can be translated a number of ways in the Old Testament. That same term, again, is found in verse 29. It's the word well. It is actually the words of the husband who praises his wife. And he says this, honey, many daughters have virtuous lives, or your translation might read, have done very well. But it's the same Hebrew term as in verse number 10 that's translated virtuous. So it's a chiasm. And so you've got the bottom part and the top part extolling a woman of virtue, and a chiasm repeats things, themes, and works itself over and comes to the center. So you start at the top, it works to the center point, and then it goes right back to that major theme again that it's speaking of. It almost looks this way, if I could use my hands and give you a diagram. At the very center of this chiasmus is verse 23. And if you first read it, it makes no sense at all. because this is a mother instructing her son about a woman. And the center point is verse 23, which says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And so if you just read that verse, apart from the context, you say, wait a second, I thought you said this was a poem about a woman. It is. It's the mother's instruction to a son. And here's the point, that the central message, the very center point of the chiasm, the central point is a mom saying to her son, son, you want to sit in the gates of the city? You want to have a place of respectability? You want to be a man that is a leader in the community? Well, let me tell you something, son. You'd better get your life's mate right. And if you don't get your life's mate right, you'll never understand what it is, as it says in verse number 23, to be known in the gates, to have a place of influence, to sit among the elders of the land. You see, this is language that is a creation of a woman that I think has been embellished over time, but under the direction of the Holy Spirit, to bring about a central point where a mother is speaking to her son so that her son will become a man of influence in his community. And it is impossible. It's impossible unless there is a woman who is at his side, who fits a description. Let me just say a couple things to you. We're going to end up in prayer, as you note on this sheet that's in front of you, if you've taken out the file. We're going to end up in prayer because the whole point for me is to come to these particular verses of a poem and to give you 10 prayer requests, how we can pray for the women of Colonial, how we can pray for our wives, how we can pray for our young ladies who are not married, how can we pray for our children who might even right now be in one of the children's churches that we have. How do we pray for that little daughter who's in the nursery that takes all of our time, can't speak much, but she sure controls the house. You know, how do we really pray? I have done this with you when it comes to the qualifications, the 22 qualifications for a pastor. And let me just say this to you up front, ladies, that, and I mentioned this to you a couple of years ago when I did this on the qualification for a pastor. When I look at the qualifications for a pastor, I go, wow, I want to go another direction. Because they're overwhelming. So I want you to understand, ladies, when you read Proverbs 31, verses 10, all the way to verse 31, my heart's right with you. I know exactly what it's like to read the text and say, this is so high. How in the world? Well, I want to turn it into 10 prayer requests for us, if I may. But let me do it this way. Let me give you just a couple of thoughts before we give the prayer request and then end up in prayer. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. I call them on your outline four features to understand this particular poem. Here are the four features I give to you quickly. Feature number one is this. It's a Hebrew poem that is written to be memorized, to be understood. For instance, when you're witnessing, you do this with the alphabet. You will think of the ABCs of the gospel. And A is, when you're witnessing, you want them to acknowledge they're a sinner. B, you want them to believe in Jesus Christ, not the church, but you're pointing them to Jesus Christ. C, you want them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. So in my mind, when I'm witnessing, I have this memorization idea that goes along the English alphabet, the ABCs of witnessing. Well, that is exactly what is taking place here in Proverbs 31, verse 10 down to verse number 31. There are 22 lines, we call them verses, and it, in sequence is the Hebrew alphabet so that they could close their minds or close their eyes and their minds would actively go over the alphabet in the Hebrew language and attach meaning to it that would help a young man understand the significance of a woman or help a woman understand what she is supposed to be. Interesting, Alan Ross in his commentary makes a statement that I've typed in for you there, and that is this, that traditionally this poem was recited at the supper table each Friday night as Jewish Passover began. Now, let me just say this to you right up front. And that's this, being a woman of virtue, verse number 10, being a woman of virtue does not mean a couple of things. All right, listen carefully. It does not guarantee, women, If you're a woman of virtue, it does not guarantee the spiritual condition of your husband. I want to get that right up front. Because you are a woman of grace, because you're a woman who's committed to truth, that does not guarantee the spiritual condition of your husband. All you got to do is turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and following, where you have a godly woman who's married to an unregenerate man. There is no guarantee of salvation. It's the Lord who does it. It's not you. You're not the Holy Spirit. And so I think that there are many an Abigail who is married to a Nabal. And the word Nabal means fool in the Hebrew text. Let me say a second thing as I look at this to help ladies. This does not mean that your children will immediately follow the Lord. If you are a spiritual woman and you look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, these 22 verses, these 22 lines, and you say, I'm going to really do everything I can to really capture these, this does not mean, number one, that you can guarantee your husband's spiritual condition, and it does not mean, number two, that your children are immediately going to follow Christ. That is an issue of their heart. They are responsible. You can set a path. You can set a direction. But you do not personally guarantee that your children are going to walk in truth. Eve had two sons. One of them's a murderer. And the other one, his legacy, Hebrews 11, even though he's dead, he still speaks. His testimony was that powerful. Same womb. And that's what the word Adelphos means, brother, from the same womb. Same womb, same mom, same parents. One's a murderer, one his legacy still goes on to this day. And let me just say a third thing. That when you ladies take chapter 31 and want to follow verse 10 down to verse number 31, this does not mean that your path is going to be free of tribulation. It does not mean that if I am going to follow the Word of God, that my path is absolutely smooth and clean. And no philipsis will ever take place. No tribulation will ever take place. That's not what we're saying here. In fact, all you have to do is turn to Luke chapter 2 and look at Simeon's prophecy to the greatest of women of the day. Her name is Mary. And he says to Mary, through the birth of this child, Jesus, a sword is going to pierce your heart. So here is Mary, the mother of our Lord, the conduit by which the birth of God, think of it, into the world. And Simeon's prophecy in chapter 2 of Luke is very strong. Mary, this birth is a blessing to the world, but this birth is going to be like a sword to your heart. It's going to cut your heart out. So I want to say this up front because we have some really interesting views on Proverbs. And I want to make sure that we get it right. That Proverbs is, from the Holy Spirit, a reduction into pithy sayings, a library in a sentence of the law, so that the average person could memorize and meditate and understand the significant issues upon the heart of God who lived in the Mosaic age. But let me say this. Any woman who follows Proverbs 31 is a woman that will be blessed of the Lord. And the last verse of the poem, her fruit is going to be given with praise. It'll be hallelujahs given because of her life. So let me say to you, here's a poem that has been written to be memorized. It's not a guarantee that if you follow these things that your husband's going to turn out this way and your children are going to turn out that way and you're not going to have any problems on the path of life. No, but what it does mean is this, that God is going to bless you. And he will bless you in the way that he so deems fit. Let me say, secondly, you'll notice on your sheet there that I think a second feature about this poem that's important is that this poem originated with a mother for her son. Look at chapter 31 and verse 1, and you'll see it there. The words of King Lemuel. There's no king of the Israelite kings or the Judean kings in which you'll find Lemuel. So it is either chapter 30 and 31, either these are men who were people of the day, that their words had come down and Solomon refined them, or one of his men refined them and God placed them here, or it could be that Lemuel is a pet name for Solomon himself by his mom. Lemuel means devoted to God. So it could very well be, this is Solomon speaking of his mother and Bathsheba, who writes, and through her words, we have listed here these 31 verses. We will never know. Though I would say that when all else fails, you look at J. Vernon McGee's commentary and he says this is a pet name for Solomon, so that settles it for me. You know where I stand. But let me say to you, Proverbs is full of teaching fathers and teaching mothers. Teaching fathers, teaching mothers. I hope you caught Beth Kesner's testimony. A brilliant linguist who said no to the world and yes to her children. And two of her sons are here studying for seminary. And Beth getting ready to go to Afghanistan. I hope you hear it. Because we need visuals in front of us to see the significance. And women, the world will say that if you're in the home, what's wrong with you? And God looks at you and says, what's right with you? This is good. This is great. I would say this thirdly, and I have it listed here for you. The emphasis of the poem is clear. A virtuous wife is rare. And her value is without compare in this world. That's what verse 10 is saying. Who can find a virtuous wife? Matthew Henry, pick his commentary up. Those of you probably have it. Read on this verse, and it'll absolutely take your heart and crush it. He says, virtuous women are scarce, and those who seem to view themselves and see themselves as virtuous are really not so. It's a powerful statement in verse 10. It is rare to find a woman who is virtuous. And this whole poem is about this idea, this concept. Solomon had no time for a woman who had a beautiful face and a weak mind and absolutely a distilled character. In fact, let me show you two verses, I think. Turn back to chapter 11 real quickly. Here's one that just absolutely stands out to me when I go through Proverbs. Proverbs 11, 22. I did not say this, so I don't want any rotten tomatoes coming my way, okay? This comes from the holy text. 11, 22. A ring of gold in a swine's snout. So is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. I don't know if you've ever had the honor of feeding pigs. Have you? You know exactly what I mean. It wouldn't matter what's in their nose. It could be a rusty nail. It could be jewels. It wouldn't matter one iota to the pig. He just puts that snout into that stuff and eats it. There's no concern. And what does Solomon say? Solomon says that a woman who's got a beautiful face and has a weak mind is like a round piece of gold in the snout of a swine. Turn to chapter number 19. Here's a more positive but powerful. These are two verses that are just absolutely captivating to me about womanhood. Chapter 9, verse 14. I've underlined this in my Bible. Houses and riches are inheritance from parents. But a prudent wife comes from who? The Lord. Now, on the one hand is chapter 11, verse 22. On the other hand is chapter 19 and verse number 14. And so those men who have within their homes a woman who has a strong mind, has a strong spirit, and is a woman of character, I want you to know it was not your doing. It was God's. And so God has given to us this incredible understanding. We know what an inheritance is. It comes from mom and dad. You didn't deserve it, but you got it because you were born into that home. And men, if God has given to you that kind of a woman, it's not because you deserve it. But just as people will be in will be careful with their inheritance, so men must be careful with what God has given to them. It's called a wife. The fourth feature that I would say to you, and then I will give you the prayer request and then we'll pray. The fourth feature that I would like to say is this. The larger meaning of the poem, and I hope you understand what I mean by that, is that this is a poem not just put together so that, oh yeah, I can understand that she's to be this way and she's to be that way, and this is how she is going to act and respond. There's a larger meaning. And the larger meaning fits in the book of Proverbs. Because the book of Proverbs is how to live life skillfully. That's how my Bible defines it in the opening paragraph. How to live life skillfully. And so there's a larger understanding here that Proverbs ends up with the words of a woman to her son. And as these words end up from a woman to her son, it ends up with a large meaning to help us to visualize wisdom. It's all about wisdom. And so what's going to happen is this is going to take something that is abstract and make it concrete and real. For instance, let me give you a couple examples. It's one thing if I were to stand before you and say, ladies, love your husbands. It's another thing to read verse 12. Look at verse 12 of the poem. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You see, if on the one hand I gave you an abstract principle, ladies, love your husbands. But you see, the poem is going to take abstract ideas and make them very concrete so that it gets your attention. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. It'd be another thing for me to say this. Ladies, I don't want any of you to be lazy. Okay? But concretely, look at verse number 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. I mean, you don't even have to use the word lazy. But there's a concrete idea that this woman is sensitive to the needs of her family and she knows no boundaries when it comes to time. It would be one thing for me to say to you in an abstract way, ladies, I want you to make wise decisions. It's another thing for you to read verse 16 where it says, she considers, she evaluates a field and then she buys it. And from her profits, she can plant a vineyard. She is so careful in her evaluation that it produces. And so produces so much, she's got to go out and take the money that she made from her evaluation and buy another vineyard. And she's going to do the same thing and the same thing. She is quite a person of insight, as we heard from one of our singles a moment ago. She is able to look beyond and to see into. So if I said to you, ladies, I just want you to be wise in your decisions. That's just abstract. But all of a sudden, it comes alive here. I mean, she can walk out and discern, this field's good, that field's not. This is where my son is now, and this is where I want him to be, and here's the bridge, how I'm going to get him from here to there. If I said to you, ladies, I want all of you to be modest in your dress because summertime is coming. All of a sudden, you know, oh yeah, I've heard this. And so it's abstract. But what do you do with these kinds of verses? Look at 11a, the first part of verse 11a, where it says, the heart of her husband can safely trust her. Or if you look over here at 25a, strength and honor, this is her clothing. And the word honor is dignity. She has incredible dignity. And that is her clothing. If I said to you, ladies, I want you to have this priority. Always put your heart before your face. Don't put your face first and your beauty first. But put your heart first. And so you might say, well, that's okay. I've heard that a lot. But look how this woman tells her son here in verse number 30, the way she puts it to her son. charm, that's personality, the way you come across to people. That can be very deceitful because you can come to somebody with a smile and on the inside you have daggers. See, charm is deceitful, and guess what? Beauty goes away. The most beautiful woman who lived in the 1800s, you could go dig up her grave and guess what you're going to see? Nothing. Beauty passes away. But the woman who has a heart for God, this is a woman whose praise is going to continually go on and 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 go on. Why? Her heart was always first in her life. We heard somebody say, oh yeah, my mom, she'd get up at this amount of time in the morning every morning. I tell you, I can say the same thing with my own family. That I could get up in the morning, and I've always have been an early riser, I'm sure to my parents' chagrin, but I've always been an early riser, but there's always somebody who's up before me. She's a red-headed Irish woman. She's always up before me. And I would say to you that that is still on my mind even to this day, that I can, the coffee and the word and the books, that was always something that will be indelibly etched in my mind. And she hasn't stopped. Even at this lovely age of 39, she continues to study the Word, going hard after the Word. You see, men and women, I'm just saying to you today that this poem has a larger picture of wisdom. It's not caught up in the nuances of the moment of a wealthy, aristocratic lady who has servants, who manages this incredible estate, who has to buy fields, who has to sell for profits, who has children. And amongst all of this, she doesn't even sleep at night. I mean, there's something beyond the moment. And so this is what I pray for the women of Colonial. Now, for those of you that have a pen, we'd like to fill in these very quickly, and I'd like to do it in about 5 minutes if I could, which means about 30 seconds for each one of these, and then I want us to end in prayer so we can pray productively for the women of Colonial. And I put this in this way so that you can put it in your Bible, as I have done with my own, with 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus, with the qualifications of the pastor. Here are these 22 qualifications that I want to pray through. Lord, here's what I need to be. Well, ladies, this is sort of along those lines, and you can develop this how you want in your own private time with the Lord. But at least this will give you a start as you try to turn these. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Some ladies come to me and say, Pastor, I really struggle sometimes. Sometimes you will preach and you have 3 points or 5 points, and I don't get the same thing out of that text. Let me say something to you. This text here in front of you, this poem, is not about putting things together neatly, because it's going to take themes and return to those themes. That's what a chiasm is. It'll return to those themes and put it in a different way. But it has a focus that this mom is trying to get her son to understand the significance of a woman of value. A woman of value is not a flirt. A woman of value is a woman who is strong in truth. A woman of value is a woman who understands the significance of God. A woman of value is opposite of chapter 2 in Proverbs, where she does not forget her covenant with her God, and she does not flatter with her words, and she does not forsake what she knows is true. It doesn't mean that a woman of virtue has not made mistakes any more than it means that a man of virtue made mistakes. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? But here's what it means, that a woman of virtue makes a mistake and she gets up after she confesses and she still stays in the same trajectory. And she moves forward. When she falls forward. And she gets up. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. The wicked fall and they perish. Okay, very quickly. Here, number one. I'm down now to 3 minutes. Help her to be a warrior. The word is warrior. For moral excellence. I would love to spend time here. Why did you get the word warrior? This word virtue can be found many ways. One place it's found is Judges 6:12, where the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, hey, you mighty man of valor, you warrior. And this is why it's so important, women. Because if you're going to be a warrior for moral excellence, you're going to have a battle, because every time you turn on the television, it says you don't have to be a woman of morality. Every time you drive down a street, everywhere, a billboard, you don't have to be. You've got to have a warrior's mentality. Women, listen to me, what I say. You must be a warrior, like Gideon. You must be someone who says, I will go against the tide. And when you go against the tide, I mean, it's difficult. Because you go in to get a dress, and you're going to have to go to so many different places because of the way the styles are. You say, is it worth it? Answer, yes. It's worth it. Because you're a warrior. You're not just passively going down the stream and saying, well, this is the way it is, and it's just so difficult, so I'm going to compromise. You compromise, women, and I'll look at your daughters and see somebody who'll compromise. You cannot compromise. You cannot say no in this case, and then, well, maybe in this case, and, oh, it's okay here because you look at your daughters that are underneath you, and you ask them by your life to value their heart more than their face. By the way, which part of the anatomy is used over and over again in Proverbs? It's her hands. Over and over again. It's her hands. It's her hands. It's her hands. It's what she does. That's the anatomy that is highlighted by this mother. To help her to wisely hold her husband's heart. Help her to wisely hold her husband's heart. Each of these, I have so many things I wish I could say. I can't. My purpose is to give us a prayer request. And I would just encourage you, go through Proverbs. Devour Proverbs. You will find so many passages of Scripture. I have some listed here just for this point that are so powerful to me. Look at the opposite. A contentious woman is like, what, a rainy day. Thirdly, and look at this, verse 13 to verse 22, this whole section. Help her to keep her flesh bridled. Help her, the women of Colonial, to keep their flesh bridled. That's a metaphorical language to keep it under the control of the Spirit of God. You see, why is that? If you, in this, you'll do this on your own because I can't do it, time's sake. But if you look at verse 13 all the way down to verse number 22 and you underline the verbs, just look at the verbs about what she does, and that's your study. You study those verbs, and you will see that her whole life is not about her. It's about everyone else around her. And you look at those verbs, and you take those verbs and put them in your mind in some way. Underline them, as I have done in my Bible. Highlight them. Go back to Proverbs and see how they're used again. What a study. Help her, Lord, to keep her flesh bridled. Four, verse 23, help her to carefully encourage her husband beyond his natural capacities. Help her, Lord, to carefully encourage her husband. And remember, you might just put a little note here at this point in the chiasmus. This is the point of the poem. Son, if you want to sit in the gate, if you want to be a person of influence, then you must have a spouse who exudes these qualities. Or you'll never sit in the gate. You'll sit in your home and you'll weep. Number five, verse 24 to 25. I hope you'll put these verses together. Just read verse. It doesn't even make sense almost. Right in the middle of this, after talking about men, her man will sit in the gates. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, supplies sashes for the merchants, and strength and honor her clothing, and she'll rejoice in time coming. Say, wait a second. This is a contrast. And verse number 24 is what she can sell. In verse number 25, this is what she keeps. In verse 24, you can sell your garments. In verse 25, you keep your character. She can sell sashes to the merchants. She can put linen garments together and sell them and get rid of them and leave the house, no problem. But this woman may not sell herself. She cannot sell her character. Strength and dignity. This is what clothes her. This is what protects her. And she will rejoice when the future comes. Number six, verse 26.
Help her tongue to be chained by the law of kindness. What a verse. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the Torah, the law of kindness. In other words, if you were to summarize speech in the first five books, the law of Moses, you get one verse, and that's this. Her tongue is guided by the Torah of kindness. It's an incredible statement, deep statement. Verse 28a, number 7. I just think when I read these words, her children rise up and call her blessed. Help her to hear the blessing of her children. That's how we pray for the women of Colonial. Help her to hear her children say, Mom, what a woman. Thank you. Maybe you've read, if you ever just Google, and like I've done this particular week, just put in Mother's Day and just go all over the place and see. You'll find all kinds of stories out there. One lady writes about her mom, how mean she was. It was the sweetest thing. You know, made her brush her teeth, made her do this and made her do that and made her this and get down to the very bottom. And now I'm just like her, you know. That's true. But you stop and think about the words, her children rise up and call her blessed. Number 9, verse 30. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Here it is, number 9. Help her to value godly character over personal beauty. Ladies, please do not let your teenage daughters flaunt their face or their body. What you want is a teenage girl who understands that God has designed her for a purpose, and if that purpose is thwarted in any way, she has prostituted the purpose of God. And we do not hear that today, men and women. And I wonder if it's sometimes because the moms are just as fashionable, they're trying to go that direction with no thought of the eyes that are upon them for the future. I'm not against fashion. I'm just against moms taking their face before the heart and daughters dealing with their face before their heart. And number 10, help her to enjoy a powerful testimony among the believers. How I love verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works bring praise, hallelujahs, in the gates. She's not there, but because of her life and her testimony, people just say, what a lady. What a lady. And it's going to go on and go on and go on because this is the legacy. So I thought what would be good is if we take a few moments and we bow our heads together and we pray through this. So let's do this now. Would you just hold it in front of you if you'd like and look down at that, or you can close your eyes and I will bring out to you these points so that we can pray for. And men, I want you to pray very specifically. If you have daughters, for your wife, ladies, you can pray very specifically. You can put yourself in this. You can put your daughters. Maybe God will bring other names in the fellowship to you. You know, however God would do it. Okay, one, let's take a moment and let's ask the Lord to help the women of Colonial to be warriors for moral excellence. Help the women of Colonial to wisely hold her husband's heart. Help the women of Colonial to keep their flesh bridled. Help the women of Colonial to carefully encourage their husbands beyond his natural capacities. Help the women of Colonial to be clothed with spiritual dignity. Help the women of Colonial that their tongues would be chained by the law of kindness. Help the women of Colonial to hear the blessing verbally expressed by their children. Help the women of Colonial to experience the spoken praise of her husband. Help the women of Colonial to value godly character over personal beauty. And finally, and I want you to take extra time as Meredith's going to play for us, but very quietly, you continue to pray. Help the women of Colonial to enjoy a powerful testimony among believers. Amen. Would you look at me for just a moment, and I'm going to dismiss you. But ladies are back there. If your ladies are not back there yet, if you get to your positions, they have in their hands these particular cards. And thank you very much, ladies, for doing that. I appreciate that. And just give you a little heads up. But I hope that you'd stick this in your Bible and just pull this out. I can't think of a greater statement on a mom than what St. Augustine gave after his mother died, this particular quotation: whoever knew her did in her magnify, honor, and love thee, O God. For through the testimony of the fruits of her holy behavior, all perceive thee, O God, to be present in her heart. And those were powerful words for us. If you're here today and you've never opened up your heart to Jesus Christ, you're not a believer, I would pray that this experience would challenge you, and I'll be down front here, and I'd be very happy if you wanted to stop by and say, Pastor, I'm just not sure I know Christ as my Savior. It's a joy to share with people about the Lord, and it's a joy for people to pray and receive Christ because the Spirit of God is working in their heart and life. And the stories have been wonderful over these past few weeks, and I know that God is at work. For those of us who are going to be celebrating today, which I hope all of us in one way or another will be, I hope that we will have a wonderful afternoon and evening as we seek to exalt the Lord and thank Christ for the mate that he has given to us. Houses and riches are inheritance from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Would you please stand with me for prayer? Father, we bow before you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to hear testimonies, the opportunity to study Proverbs 31, the opportunity to be challenged. Lord, I'm very aware that Father's Day is coming too, and we need to do the same thing as we challenge men to righteousness and holiness. But today, Lord, it's been for the ladies of Colonial. This is our time to get a new perspective, to take another look. The world, Lord, flaunts, and we say no. The Scriptures are very careful to be discreet, to be holy, to be pure, to be chaste, to love their children, to love their husbands, to have a home that is indeed a home that glorifies the Lord, to have children that sing the praises of the redeemed. Lord, if there are people today who are struggling in their homes, I pray that they would not walk away defeated because of sin or things they've overlooked. But I pray, Lord, that they would sense the power and the presence of God as they would, with their husbands, they would pray. Or maybe, Lord, they're a mom who does not have a husband who does pray. Would you find them upon their knees? And would you do as you did to Monica? She wept her son into the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would work in our church so that this would be a very safe place for the women of Colonial, that this would be a place where Christ is exalted, that there would be models of truth that live here and worship here and seek to extol your name. Lord, thank you for how you have blessed us. And I pray that that will continue. We ask for a wonderful afternoon. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and all God's people say.